Let's go to Julie, though. It's Friday food time. Julie Busso from Shared Kitchen has a stunning recipe to share with us. Last time we spoke to her was from her lockdown bolt hole at her brother's property, where she's been looking at the tararuas each morning. Next week she's back up in Auckland, though. Hi, Julie.
Yeah, hi there, Jessie. That's right. It's been, I think, nearly 8 weeks that I've been here, so quite a long stay. I actually came down just for a 2 week visit, so it went a little longer, but it's been great.
How has it felt, like a sort of a break from real life?
Yes, it feels quite strange because I'm used to living in the city, or I lived on Waiheke, lots of people, lots of activity, and here it's much more a country location, so quite slow. You don't actually notice that when lockdown, when you couldn't leave home, you didn't notice because there was no one around anyway.
Yeah.
It was a little bit different, but it's been magnificent because there's just so many fruit and vegetables here. Everything that seems to be put in the garden just grows really beautifully, and that's quite different to how it was for me on Waiheke, because it was always a struggle to get enough water for vegetables and for things to grow. So I've enjoyed that side of it, but I tell you what, I've seen the seasons change.
Yeah.
For sure.
You know,
I came down, Jessie, and it was like the trees were just full of peaches, and it was just really amazing what was growing. But now, of course, that's all changed. There's no more sweet corn, and it's cabbages, cauliflower, pumpkins, and apples and feijoas. So it's a real change.
And have you been cooking a bit while you've been down there?
I've done the dinner every night, bar three.
Wow, lucky
weeks.
Brother.
Well, you know, my sister-in-law, she, I think, has really enjoyed having me here as well because it's been a nice break for her. But I've had the, you know, magnificent place to stay, and I've just learnt so much about living in the country, and I've seen some incredible things, actually, because, you know, there's a bit of home kill that goes on in this area. So I've seen a large beast being slaughtered, which is not the kind of thing that you'd probably see too regularly in the city. So there's just been country things that are incredible.
And you haven't been cooking too much meat, though?
No, not really, because there have been so many, you know, such stuff in the garden. So apart from that little encounter with, that I just mentioned, but I've really missed fish, and I've missed kind of like an over-the-top kind of dish, you know, where you just think, oh, you just want to have a little bit of richness and that kind of thing, and invite a few friends around and, you know, crack open the wine. Not that we were slow with that, unfortunately. But
no, I think a lot of people have been like that. I feel like yesterday was the sort of the first day of a new start for a lot of people.
Yeah, well, once you take those bottles back to the recycle, you think, oop, yeah. But, you know, I think we've all done what we could to make the lockdown time enjoyable and read more and, you know, watch movies and do all those kinds of things. But in my case, it was digging a lot of holes and planting a whole load of new things, because we've put in a berry cage, because the birds here, of course, are everywhere. So for the raspberries and blackberries, building a cage for that. But it's all very close to the tararuas, so there's big stones in the soil. So very, very similar to Waiheke, in that the garden is very rocky.
So what do you have in mind for us today, Julie?
Well, you know, thinking about something that would be a lovely dish to share, a little bit more kind of, you know, break out and a bit celebratory. So a leg of lamb, I thought, is a really nice dish to do because it serves quite a few people. So, you know, you can have up to 10. I kind of thought that rather than just be a regular roast lamb, I wanted something more. So, yes, this has got the garlic and rosemary, which is so traditional with lamb, and you just make little slits in the leg of lamb and poke in our little pieces of rosemary and garlic, and then they kind of pop up as the lamb cooks and catch a bit of heat as well, so you get a nice little bit of flavour from that. But what makes this really amazing and you know, naughty, but so good, is that The leg of lamb sits above a little bed of vegetables. And for this, I've got thinly sliced potatoes, onions and tomatoes. And they go into, it's an oil dish, just spread a little bit of extra virgin olive oil around with the brush. So you layer the vegetables, salt and pepper them, add a few herbs if you like, and a little bit of white wine, splash of white wine. And then you put the leg of lamb on top, but on a rack. So like a cake rack would just work perfectly.
Yeah.
And here's the real naughty bit. So you slather that leg of lamb with butter. And it just, everything just drips down, you know, onto those vegetables, all those lovely juices as that meat cooks. And then the vegetables kind of, like the potatoes get a bit kind of fluffy, but all around the edges, because you've got that caramelization from the onion and the tomatoes, and they go all kind of crisp and golden in it. It's just a really, really lovely way to do lamb.
Yeah, sounds incredible. I did a lamb shoulder last week and was really pleased that I did. I was shocked how much fat came out of that shoulder.
Yeah, well, a shoulder is one of the fattiest cuts, and certainly way fattier than a leg. And you wouldn't want to do this with a shoulder because you'd just have, you know, saturated fat on your vegetables. But yeah, the shoulder's fantastic. A lot of people don't cook it because it's fatty. But I don't know whether you did you slow cook it? How did you do it?
Yeah, so I slow cooked it for 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah, so you do get the chance to pour that fat off. And
yeah, I had it on a rack as well. It's it worked pretty well, but yeah, just keep coming.
But the meat then is so kind of fork tender.
Amazing!
So it is a lovely cut to do if you can just spend a bit of time doing it, then get rid of all that fat. But this is different because it's a prime cut. It's really beautiful meat. It's not too fatty, and do have a chance to trim the back of the leg if it is. You know, there's quite a bit of fat there. You can get rid of that before you start. So, yeah, and I guess to serve with it, we're eating a lot of persimmons at the moment because we've got them in the garden, and adding them sliced up into salads with winter leaves. And the persimmons are lovely because they provide a little bit of sweet juice. Also a few mandarins as well. Bit of sharp kind of vinaigrette in there, bit of sherry vinegar or even citrus. And that makes a really good accompaniment. Maybe a little bowl of yogurt with some toasted ground cumin seeds, a drizzle of pomegranate on the top, something like that, bit of mint.
It's a nice thing about lamb, eh? Like even if you're doing the rosemary, classic rosemary garlic thing, goes so well with those Mediterranean flavours.
Yeah, and they add a lot. And I mean, like to whip up that the yogurt thing is 3 or 4 minutes. To do a salad, but to get that bit of fruit in there as well, and that's fresh and clean, which then counteracts the richness of the lamb. So that it's a really nice combination to do all of that. A few bit of rockets, you know, some good winter greens, and colourful, tasty, and invite someone over. I'd say you're allowed to break out of your bubble. So, yep, this is the weekend to do it.
Yeah, so we have a bit of time. Would you like to just give us a bit of a guide to cooking that lamb leg, Julie?
Yeah, certainly. So you need about 75 mils of extra virgin olive oil all up, and this doesn't have to be an estate oil, you know. It's just an affordable one from the supermarket. And brush a little bit of oil around a dish. Now, your roasting dish, you want a nice thick china dish about 5 centimetres deep, and potatoes, use either Desiree or Agria, peel them and slice them thinly. That's really important. And put them in the bottom of the dish, season with salt and pepper as you would in the normal way. And then you've got some onions to go in that, and 2 large onions. I wouldn't use red onions because they stain the potatoes. It doesn't look quite as appetizing. So just regular, you know, brown-skinned ones. Slice them thinly, put them in. And then 500 grams of tomatoes. And if you've got, if you can choose, not watery tomatoes, but fleshier type, they will be better. Slice them thinly. They go on top of the onions. Drizzle over 1/2 cup of dry white wine. Scatter in a little bit of thyme, fresh thyme if you've got it. If you don't, a bit more rosemary, whichever one would be good. And then that's just the lamb. You've checked the back, you haven't got too much fat on it. You've made some little slits. You've poked in some garlic and rosemary, three cloves of garlic cut into slivers, that kind of thing. Tuck that in, put the lamb on top of, on a cake rack on top of the vegetables, brush it with two tablespoons of melted butter, sprinkle with some sea salt, and into the oven it goes. Temperature about 200 degrees. That's just on regular, not on a fan bake. And 1 hour, 10 minutes. Turn the lamb over twice during cooking. So you're just making sure that it's, you know, the juices are flowing nicely, and you're sort of you're basting it when you do it, really, when you turn it. And that's about it. Then to transfer to a board and just let it rest for about 15 minutes before you slice it. Then you've got those beautiful vegetables underneath, all sort of browned and crispy around the edges, and pretty tasty.
Yeah, incredible. A couple of questions. One is, I mean, I just sort of flick my oven to fan bake as a matter of course, but are there times when it's better not to have that fan on?
Yeah, fan bake adds 10 to 15 degrees Celsius to your temperature. When it's really good, it is good for roasting and for browning, but this, we've got the lamb sitting up quite high in the dish, so we don't want it to dry out. So hence, just keeping it at a regular bake, because the fan bake's a drier, you know, you could say a fiercer temperature. That's great when you're roasting potatoes. I tell you what, you never ever use fan bake when you cook a cake, because you would dry the top and the sides out.
Ooh.
So a cake is always done just a regular temperature, no fan forced heat of that type. Depending on, you know, the ovens are a wee bit different.
I suppose I might have got better results with my lamb shoulder if I hadn't had the fan on, because 4 hours would give it a lot of time to dry out.
Well, yeah, so was it a bit dry?
Well, I mean, I thought it tasted delicious, but, you know, I'm always seeking to improve, Julie.
Yeah. Oh, aren't we all?
Yeah. Hey, thanks for that.
Totally.
We've got the recipe on the website, and we've also got a beautiful picture that you've supplied us. Thank you so much.
Excellent. Thanks,
Jesse. That's Julie Busso with her recipe for French roast lamb and gratin of vegetables. Julie's website is Shared Kitchen. If you like the way she cooks, and most people do, she has a weekly newsletter full of recipes and ideas. And always look forward to her joining us on a Friday afternoon.